your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Welcome to Redacted on this Wednesday. Welcome to the Rebellion, as we seem to be under some sort of a technology attack. I don't know. I guess the people don't want to hear what we have to say, which is what the mainstream media will not cover. A lot of the big stories that the mainstream media propaganda machine has been turning out over the past 48 hours. They've been dripping it to you, pouring it down your throats, and we're going to uncover it. Hey, Tucker is back. Our friend Tucker Carlson is back with a brand new show on Twitter and slamming the propaganda, slamming the mainstream media, slamming the proxy war in Ukraine. A whole host of things we're going to go through tonight on the show.
That's right. We're going to give you an update on Ukraine. We also have a special guest. Patrick Lancaster is actually in the region, is going to show us what it looks like there with some shocking images. Plus, Oxfam is apologizing for using the term TERF. I don't think it's funny at all. I'm going to point out to you why it's ageist, why it's sexist, why it's misogynistic, all of those things, and why we shouldn't trust Oxfam anyway. They were originally just supposed to be feeding hungry people. They're not anymore. It's just full-on advocacy.
All right. We're going to talk about that. Plus, Mel Gibson. Get ready, because this could be a bombshell story about Mel Gibson. We're going to dive deep into what he's up to, and I have a big prediction about him. What he is uncovering, what he has been uncovering over the past few months. We're going to get into all of that. I'm going to go into some great detail about that. So we've got so much to cover on tonight's show. All of that and more as Redacted starts right now. Welcome, everybody. So glad to have you here on this Wednesday. It's such a great... I love our community. I love reading your comments. So thank you. Let us know where you're joining us from. Can you type in the comments tonight where you're joining us from? And if you subscribe, please subscribe. We're live every day, Monday through Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So we are live right now. I love seeing... Let's see. Ramirez Sword says Mel Gibson is awesome. Tim Buck says Mel Gibson didn't crucify himself. We got a lot of great comments. Let us know where you're joining us from tonight.
Glasgow. Thank you. So we're going to talk about all of that and more, but first we want to tell you about our daily newsletter. It comes to you every morning, at least our time in the morning. You go to redacted.inc and you see there we're going to offer you a free subscription to our newsletter. We never upsell it. It's not like you get the newsletter and then you can pay for more newsletter. We give you the whole newsletter all for free. All you have to do is put in your email address, validate that email address, and you get it every single day. It acts as a companion to this show, so you get the stories that we're going to cover here with all the original links. I am a link purist. I try my best to give you the most original sourcing of our stories so that you have it with you. And then also we give you more kind of funny things, tidbits, blurbs, trending news, news by the numbers, all of that. We work really hard on it. And I hope you enjoy it, because I usually by the time the newsletter is said and done, it's like feels like a term paper that I'm really proud of. So I hope you read it. It makes me feel good. Don't read it just to make me feel good. So again, go to redacted.inc. Our free newsletter is at redacted.inc.
Well, now to the war in Ukraine, where General Mark Milley from the United States once again doubling down on his prediction that Ukraine would fall within 72 hours if Russian forces push beyond the Dnieper River. Well, I guess it's a darn good thing that Russia decided to blow up its own hydroelectric dam to stop their own advancement. brilliant tactical strategy on the part of the Russians to impede their advancement. The Western media is really hoping that you will buy this and believe all of this propaganda, and they are doubling down on the propaganda this afternoon. It's almost sad if it wasn't, laughable if it wasn't sad. And our redacted correspondent, Dan Cohen, is tracking all of this propaganda for us, Dan. So they're really doubling down on this.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're really firm on their position that Russia did it, even though the White House has said officially that it doesn't even know. So none of the White House's statement hasn't stopped the most fervent pro-war voices from automatically blaming Russia without presenting a shred of evidence. Here's NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg on Twitter saying, "This is an outrageous act which demonstrates once again the brutality of Russia's war in Ukraine." Then Spanish Prime Minister and possible future replacement for Stoltenberg, Pedro Sanchez, also implies Russia was responsible. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen promises to hold Russia accountable. Clayton, I find it interesting how they don't explicitly blame Russia, but they all strongly imply Russia did it. Like, that was the memo that was circulated to them, said, imply, don't say it explicitly.
Right, because then the follow-up question will be, well, where is the evidence? Like the questions asked of John Kirby in the White House press briefing room, like, well, where is the evidence of this? Well, we're working through it. So that's why we are implying it, but we don't have the evidence yet. We're just implying all of this.
Exactly. But that didn't stop the Estonian foreign minister from directly blaming Russia. He said it straight up that Russia is responsible. And then here in the U.S., we have the California Congressman Ted Lieu. He blamed Russia, too. He apparently knows something that even the White House, the Biden administration, and the Pentagon don't even know. We have former CIA director David Petraeus, renowned for his honesty and integrity. He says Russia did it.
This presumably was done by the Russians. There are public accounts that U.S. intelligence has indications that it was Russians. President Zelensky, of course, very publicly denied any involvement, and I cannot imagine that he would do that if there was Ukrainian involvement.
Yeah, I mean, because Zelensky would never say anything that isn't true. I mean, we literally have a laundry list of things now. The attack in Poland that was blamed on the Russians, but immediately was, you know, turned out to be Ukraine. We have the attack on the Kremlin. We would never use America. We were not attacking the Kremlin. How dare you? And then turns out, yeah, that's the case. We would never blow up that pipeline. We would never do something like that. Turns out, yeah, you did. So I love that Petraeus is giving us a moral analysis of Zelensky. It's amazing.
Yes, it's Zelensky's scout honor, you know, with that kind of green T-shirt. It's I think that's the symbol, something like
right.
That. So we have Petraeus saying it. We have, I mean, there are so many sound bites from the mainstream media that I kind of just went for a select few. I like this one from Michael Kaufman, who went on PBS NewsHour, which we showed here on Redacted. PBS NewsHour collaborates with CIA favorite Bellingcat, the notorious disinformation outlet. Now, Kaufman, their expert, is a fellow at the federally funded Center for Naval Analysis. This guy is paid by the U.S. government. So not, of course, they don't say that in the, you know, in his bio. They don't give any disclaimer in his interview. So I like what he says. He says, even if Ukraine did it, it's Russia's fault.
Either way, Russia is responsible, either by virtue of action or by virtue of the fact that it controlled the dam. At the end of the day, the outcome of the situation is the result of Russian actions in Ukraine, one way or another.
So let me get this right. I'm going to start using that as a scapegoating tactic when I do something wrong in my life. I'm just going to blame the other person. It doesn't really matter, regardless of the fact, because it's Russia's fault. It's their fault, even though Ukraine blew up the dam. It's amazing. They control the dam. They built the dam. Russia built the dam. They control the dam. Their own forces have defensive positions all up in the along the river, which are now flooded and potentially destroyed. 42,000 people are being evacuated, have to leave their homes, but Russia did it.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't have to make sense. You just go with it. I guess that's the memo that he got.
Yeah.
Then we have Zelensky advisor Andriy Yermak. He actually thanked journalists for going along with the narrative that Russia did it. It's pretty amazing. He put this out on Telegram. I mean, didn't we just learn a few days ago from the New York Times that that journalists are telling Ukrainian Nazis to cover up their symbols? And now we have Yermak saying, great job. Congratulations to these journalists for doing our bidding.
Yeah, this is amazing to me. This is amazing because it also, who are they thanking? I mean, remember that it's state-run media. Zelensky has removed journalists from the country and consolidated power so that now, of course, the media in the country is state-run. So who exactly are they thanking? They're already doing the bidding of the regime. You're just putting out a nice memo to say thanks for making sure that you're out on the propaganda. What with this?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that seems like something you'd want to keep in private, that you have these kind of relationships with the media. But, you know, I guess in this brave new world of propaganda, everything goes, anything goes. So then the question is, why, according to their narrative, if we go with this narrative that Russia did it, or Russia probably did it, or no matter what, it's Russia's fault, why would Russia actually do this? Why would Russia bomb a dam that an area and territory that it controls? Well, according to all of the mainstream media talking heads, it's to delay the long-awaited, much-vaunted Ukrainian counteroffensive, which, if you're listening to Biden administration officials, possibly hasn't started. If you're listening to Ukrainian officials, began on Monday. It's sort of, they're not exactly on the same page. Nonetheless, here's the Wall Street Journal headline from this morning. Destruction of Ukraine dam floods, frontline cutting counteroffensive options. So there's the Wall Street Journal. That's pretty much the propaganda line. Once again, the Honorable David Petraeus chimes in with his take.
Or did they literally blow the dam up, thinking that somehow this might delay the offensive or disrupt it in some way? But I don't think that that is going to be the case.
So that's unbelievable. So let me get this right. Wall Street Journal, David Petraeus, they're all on the same page on this, which is that the destruction of the dam by Russians was to stop the massive Ukrainian counteroffensive, which they were cowering in their boots about. And so this was meant to stop that. That's the line now that they're giving us.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, Russia did this to stop the counteroffensive that we've been waiting months and months for and has been delayed. And apparently maybe is happening, though we haven't seen any big results. I mean, the other side of the coin, if Ukraine did this, it's not only an act of terrorism against the population of Crimea, which is overwhelmingly pro-Russia, but it also provides, exactly as we're seeing, a great excuse for why this spring and now summer counteroffensive isn't really going so well. Listen to this from former Secretary of Defense under the Trump administration, Mark Esper, saying that it's important that countries believe the counteroffensive is going well in order to maintain support for the Ukrainian war effort.
It's very important. I think Ukraine understands this politically, not just militarily, that they have a very successful counteroffensive that shows people a return on their investment in the Ukrainian military.
So I get it, right? We need to fall for this propaganda so that we continue to send more money and weapons to Ukraine. That's how this all works.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me actually a lot of past wars the U.S. has been involved in. I think of what the United States was telling the public during the Vietnam War when things were going extremely poorly. And then there was the Tet Offensive when the Vietnamese launched an attack that completely demolished that narrative. Well, the U.S. was telling everyone things were going great, and reality was completely a different thing. This is, like, I think even worse, because it's kind of an own goal. I mean, they just destroyed this entire area that the U.S. and Ukraine are talking about retaking. Somebody destroyed it. I mean, we can't say 100% it was Ukraine, though it certainly looks like it. But they're using that to tell us that the war is actually going great, that this is a sign of Ukrainian strength rather than a sign of weakness and desperation for a flailing regime.
Yeah, it really is. It really is amazing. So I hope people, when they pick up their Financial Times, or their Wall Street Journal, and they read headlines like destruction of Ukraine dam floods frontline, cutting counteroffensive options, or you listen to these yahoos on mainstream media pushing this big corporate narrative all in an effort. I mean, they're all making money off of this war. And all of these mainstream media networks are making money off of, just look at BlackRock, for instance, going and meeting with Zelensky, shaking hands with Zelensky in Ukraine. And they now own a 14% ownership stake. I believe it's 14% of News Corp, Fox News Channel, right? Why do you think Tucker Carlson was pulled off the air? I mean, follow the money, people. Follow the money and listen to them push this narrative for war. It's pretty straightforward, at least in the cynical circles where I swim and where Dan swims. Dan, great to see you. Thank you so much for this. Continue. Don't fall for the propaganda.
Thanks, Clayton.
Thanks. And one of the headlines, the Wall Street Journal headline that we were talking about earlier today, this ridiculous idea that, this is the reason we can't have this counteroffensive.
Yes.
This is the reason we can't do this now, because of the dam that Russia blew up. So they were trying to stop this intense counteroffensive.
Right. Oh, well, we really had them where we wanted them, as Zelensky said over the weekend. But, you know, now we can't do it because of this reason.
Yeah. Well, the Western media continues to ignore the Ukrainian attacks on residential areas of Russia, including areas inside of pre-war Russia. Over the past 24 hours, we've seen intense attacks by NATO and Ukrainian forces into residential areas in the Belgorod region, which is about 1,000 kilometers or so away from what we were just talking about there in the flooding at the dam site, and including attacks on grocery stores, apartment complexes, again, houses, residential streets, playgrounds. Journalist Patrick Lancaster is in those areas right now, and he just filed this exclusive report for Redacted.
I'm Patrick Lancaster, arriving in Shebekino, Russia, on the border, just a few kilometers from the border of Ukraine, where Ukraine has been launching a massive attack on this city. It's been estimated by the governor that over 600 shells have come down. And we're here to show you today what the real situation is. As we can hear shelling, this is a special update for Redacted. I'm Patrick Lancaster here in Shebekino, Russia, in the Belgorod region, where in the last days and weeks there's been a huge increase in attacks by Ukrainian forces. Just behind me, this fire department is fighting this fire in this garage area here, where there was several impacts today. And we can see this is in a residential area. On one side, apartment buildings. On the other side, forested area. And we've already seen several locations hit just today. The governor of the area says that there has been over 600 shells launched on this town in the last 2 days. Over here, we can see the impact hole from one of the impacts of one of the shells that came from that direction, which in that direction is just a few kilometers Ukrainian territory, the Ukrainian border. So no question where these shells are coming from. We're just gonna do our best to show everyone what's happening here. This is an update, especially for Redacted, and we're gonna bring you more as it comes. And you can see the extended version on my YouTube channel, Patrick Lancaster. We've got a lot more to come. All right, now we've just moved just up the way, still in the same street as the other attacks, street Lenina. This one's address 111. We can see home destroyed. This didn't happen as recently as what we just saw, but another home destroyed by Ukrainian shelling. And we're going to keep pushing on, find out what more information we can find. We see fire up ahead. Not sure if we're going to be able to get to it or not. All right, so we've moved on to a different part of the city, not too far from where we were before. This is the street Zhelezny Doroga, which translates into railway or railroad. And we can see this apartment block here took a direct hit this morning. Apartment still smoldering. It appears possibly the fire department was already here and tried their best to put out the fire, and it's just smoldering a little bit. But let's go in and take a look. We're inside at the door of one apartment that's still smoldering, and this wall is almost red hot. We can see the paint melting off. And I don't think we're going to go too far in, but just to give you a little bit of a look. It's just too dangerous to go any farther in. The smoke's pretty heavy. All right, so we just came to a Petorka grocery store, as they call it. Number five grocery store, they call it in Russia. And we see there's another impact here, much shrapnel on the ground. Apparently a different type of ammunition was used. This wasn't what we just heard, the incoming, but another type. See the apartment here destroyed, or the grocery store, back of it destroyed. Big impact here, cars destroyed. No military vehicles here or anything of the sort. Just civilian areas under attack from Ukrainian forces. And here we can see inside the windows of this grocery store. Freezers, refrigerators. And if you look here in this cart here, I'm not sure if you can see that, eggs roasted by the flames. All right, we're here in the very center. We see this market, a big hole in the side of this building. You see one man, one lone man we were just talking to, still living in this apartment. Says all his neighbors, his wife, everyone is evacuated, but he just doesn't feel he can do it. And he was actually born in Ukraine and doesn't understand why Ukraine's shelling and hammering the civilian areas here. All right, and we've shown you everything we can here. We made it to the center of the center. We've shown you a lot of destruction here in Shebekino. Right now, we're in front of the House of Culture, in front of the I Love Shebekino sign here. We've seen 99% of the town here is evacuated, still some people. But this is a life here in Shebekino, Russia, under constant Ukrainian shelling. We've heard many shells today. Not too many got too close, which is great. We had some grads that we were a little nervous about, but we're showing you everything here on the ground. And you see what we see. And this has been a special update from Shebekino, Russia, for Redacted.
Thank you, Patrick. Patrick Lancaster reporting for Redacted this afternoon from Shebekino. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Under constant shelling in those areas. And thank you to everyone watching right now who subscribes and supports independent journalism. Chances are you're not going to see this coverage on CNN or the mainstream media because they don't want you to see this. So
you don't get a lot of actual war footage. Not that that's something we want to see. We want to live in a world where there's no war to have any footage of.
Right.
But when you think about how CNN really got their start around the Iraq wars, and how, because we at least got to see images of things like that to make it real to us, and that built a whole news network. Well, what do we see now is mostly images of the Ukrainian army kind of mulling about equipment, right?
Right.
Still images and phony headlines.
Well, CNN actually were the ones that admitted that Ukraine has kept reporters from covering the front lines of this war. Of course, they famously did there. We've got an exclusive where we get to go to the front lines with Ukraine, with the Ukrainian military. Wow. Really? You got an exclusive where they're going to let you see what's actually happening?
Right.
What happened to war correspondents? Of course, when Zelensky and the Ukrainians nationalized the media, there are no journalists in Ukraine actually covering this anymore from the national perspective. Go ahead, David.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's like people don't understand how much danger these people's lives are in on a daily basis to bring you that kind of coverage. And there's so many anchors and stuff on the, like you said, there's no investigative, there's no war journalists anymore. that are stepping out of their ivory tower to go out from behind their teleprompter to go cover this stuff. And so that's what makes propaganda easy, because there's no coverage, there's no footage of it. So it's just hats off to Patrick for putting his life in danger to bring us the news.
Yeah, I mean, we should be skeptical about a war where the technology is better, but the coverage is worse than the original Iraq war.
That's a
that
good point.
Made CNN famous. Yeah. And just today, the news that CNN has ousted Chris Licht as the head of the network now. I mean, it really says something when CNN has terrible ratings during wartime.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, not that, that again, I would love to live in a world where there's no war to cover at all. And the media just has to do better, do different things. But that's not the world we live in. So the fact that we get so little access to actually seeing what's going on, have to trust these bullcrap headlines and see so few things. So we really appreciate this inside scoop from Patrick Lancaster, and we appreciate the sacrifices he's making to show us those things.
We have links to Patrick's work in our description below as well, so please check that out. We've got more news to get to here on your Wednesday. We're going to dive deep into how Tucker Carlson just destroyed the mainstream media and went really after the propagandists. And I want you to watch a piece. There's a section that I want to show you and see if you can pick up the Easter egg, the hidden nugget that Tucker mentions in this. See if you can find it. We'll show you that. We'll show that to you in a second. But first,
we want to tell you about our friends over at stamps.com, because stamps.com gives you a post office in your office. Now, if you are someone like me who loves stationery, who loves having tracking information,
label makers,
all of that stuff, then stamps.com is for you. For instance, just today, we mailed off our quarterly payment for our taxes. And, you know, I went to the post office and I put in the tracking number so that I can get regular email updates, so that if I ever get any, you know, flack from the IRS, I have all of the emails show you. So I love this kind of stuff. That's why stamps.com is so fun, because it gives you all of that control plus more, so that you can ship for your business, for your life, with a lot less hassle. You get postage rates that are the best discounts in the industry, especially considering postage rates just keep increasing. And they have amazing partnerships with USPS and UPS for unbeatable rates of up to 84% off. Plus, stamps.com automatically tells you your cheapest and fastest shipping options. And they've been your postage partner for the last 25 years. It is really a stress-free solution. You just print it, slap it on your box, and go. Extra credit if you have all the nice stickers and labels, where you can just print a sticker and then it looks like a real sticker. I have those too. I have label makers. I have all that stuff. I love the label makers. I love stickers. I love stationery. I love September.
We get it.
Okay, sorry. Let me tell you how you
get it. You're an office supply nerd. We get it.
I love the smell of pencils. Okay, sorry. Where am I going with this? I'm going with this is tell you how to sign up for a promo code. Use promo code REDACTED for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. That's also super awesome. No long-term commitments or contracts. Again, go to stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, and enter the code REDACTED.
Wow.
I know. Don't give me the ones that have to do with stationery.
Do you know what's funny?
They need to hire you as their official spokesperson.
Yes. Yes. You know, I get Natalie gifts and stuff. And she's like, oh, great. You know, she likes, you know, for Mother's Day and stuff like that. The other day, though, I ordered... because just I needed some tape. I ordered some Scotch tape.
Yeah.
And I ordered you like a bundle of Scotch tape also, because I know you didn't have any in your office. And like normally, and she went out of her way to send me a message. She's like, you ordered me tape?
I love it.
Yeah. I love it.
And it comes with a scissor. It's like a 5-pack of tape packaged with a scissor. And that was really exciting.
That was a highlight. See, guys?
And also one of my best.
Some girls need diamonds. Some need tape.
And office supplies. Right. I have those like stamps that go that says this book belongs to Natalie Morris. Love that stuff. Okay.
All right. Glad Don't we laugh. Got that out of our system.
And if you borrow a book from me, you'll know where it came from.
Hey, thanks to the, we got a whole bunch of new subscribers here live during the show. If you subscribe, that number in the middle there, we're moving towards 2 million subscribers. We're almost there. So we're at 1.938615. We got a new subscriber, Catherine, just became a Super Chat donator of $10. Thank you so much, Catherine. What did Catherine say here in the Super Chats? Let's see what Catherine said. Catherine has redacted have the best moderators on social media. Thank you.
Oh, are they talking to our chat moderators?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Yes, and we appreciate anyone who's acting as a moderator in the chat very much.
And Jovem,
a little fast.
Jovem with a super chat says Ukrainians control another 6 dams above the river. After stabilization of the water, they will be able to lower the water level in that region, creating crossing points of the river. Yeah, and there are reports that in fact in the days leading up to the bombing, Ukraine increased the water levels of this particular dam in order to maximize the amount of water in the dam. So when they flooded it, it did the maximum amount of damage. That report, Kim.com actually had posted that last night and actually has the water table levels that are monitored by French authorities. And so that actually shows that they were planning this. They raised it as high as they possibly could and then blew it up to wipe out as many people as possible. That's what Ukraine did. Okay, we got more news. Let's talk about this. Guys, Tucker is back. So yeah. Can I just tell a little personal story here? You know, as you know, Tucker is a friend. Last night, I was texting him about something totally benign, something totally banal. In fact, it was something so stupid and like...
Meanwhile, his show had just launched.
Well, no, we were going to bed because we were 5 hours ahead and I didn't know. And so it was just on a night that I just happened to be texting him. And he's kept this like really close to the vest, obviously, all the crap that he's been dealing with Fox News. So I was just texting him something totally stupid. And then I wake up in the morning and I see... Tucker launched a brand new show and it has 45 million views by the time I woke up. By the time he went to bed, it probably had like 10 million.
So he didn't say like, oh, did you see my new show?
Tucker's not like that.
He said nothing.
He's not like, hey, look at me. He's not like that kind of person. So I went to bed not even knowing that he had a new show. And then I wake up and it's at 45 million views. And I sent him a message. I said, holy crap, I was sending you something so banal last night and here you launching your show. Congratulations. And he said, it feels amazing to be back after 6 weeks. And he's glad to be back. And so he is back.
Is there part of you that watches this coverage though and says, we've been saying that for a long time, like feels like there's competition now for us, or do you think us better?
No, I mean, I always look up to Tucker, so I have great reverence for that. But I did see a comment on the video where it said, the one person said, man, I feel like a drug user that I've been waiting 1 month to get my dose of truth. It took me 1 month or whatever to get my truth. Like, so
I've been here all along.
But we do cover a lot of, I mean, I think we are kindred spirits in that. He's one of the only anti-war voices, was the only anti-war voice on mainstream media. And so when he was silenced, there are no anti-war voices in mainstream media anymore. And
not
he was
a little
the only
jealous
one.
That he has 45 million views on that.
All right.
I'm just asking.
I would love 45 million. We've got 2 million subscribers.
Okay.
I would love 45 million, but that's not the
you
point.
You know what? You know, the way I look at it is, it's like, now there's more people getting the truth out. So it's like more people will come here and be like, oh, I saw Tucker say that. Or in his case, oh, I saw Redacted say that. So it's like you have two properties that you care about that are solidifying what's actually going on. So it's like then it's easier to believe. So it's a really good thing.
It just will make us be better, you know.
Well, it elevates us, right?
Sure.
It elevates all of us, right? So I'm thrilled. I'm absolutely thrilled that independent media and Tucker Carlson is back. At this hour, I think it's at 85 million views. I think on an average night of his show, he would get about 2 million views to 3 million.
Three and a half was a really good night for him.
So 3.5 million on Fox.
And the best night that Fox would have.
Yeah.
No one else is touching that. And it still isn't.
So it's amazing. Anyway, I wanted to show you, because there's a few little Easter eggs here. I want to show you at least the introduction here of when he made his announcement last night. This is the first 2 minutes of his broadcast, and he does not hold back, going right after the warmongers and, of course, this phony proxy war in Ukraine. Watch.
Hey, it's Tucker Carlson. This morning, it looks like somebody blew up the Kakhovka Dam in southern Ukraine. The rushing wall of water wiped out entire villages, destroyed a critical hydropower plant, and as of tonight, puts the largest nuclear reactor in Europe in danger of melting down. So if this was intentional, it was not a military tactic, it was an act of terrorism. The question is, who did it? Well, let's see. The Kakhovka Dam was effectively Russian. It was built by the Russian government. It currently sits in Russian-controlled territory. The dam's reservoir supplies water to Crimea, which has been, for the last 240 years, home of the Russian Black Sea Fleet. Blowing up the dam may be bad for Ukraine, but it hurts Russia more. And for precisely that reason, the Ukrainian government has considered destroying it. In December, the Washington Post quoted a Ukrainian general saying his men had fired American-made rockets at the dam's floodgate as a test strike. So really, once the facts start coming in, it becomes much less of a mystery what might have happened to the dam. Any fair person would conclude that the Ukrainians probably blew it up, just as you would assume they blew up Nord Stream, the Russian natural gas pipeline, last fall. And in fact, the Ukrainians did do that, as we now know. It's not like Vladimir Putin is anxious to wage war on himself. Oh, but that's where you're wrong, Mr. and Mrs. Cable News consumer. Vladimir Putin is exactly that sort of man, the sort of man who'd shoot himself to death in order to annoy you. We know this from the American media, which wasted no time this morning in accusing the Russians of sabotaging their own infrastructure. Bill Kristol, the man who once told us that Saddam Hussein was responsible for 9/11, immediately denounced Putin as a war criminal and even more savagely compared him to Donald Trump. The rest of the pundit class made similar, clearly coordinated noises. Putin did it! Putin did it! And their reasoning was simple. Putin is evil, and evil people do evil things purely for the dark joy of being evil. In this specific case, Putin attacked himself, which is the most evil thing you can do, and therefore perfectly in character for a man that evil. That was their explanation.
That's my favorite. Yeah. Putin.
It reminds me of the news report from Spaceballs about Pizza the Hut. He's like, and he ate himself.
And he ate himself to death. Yes. Now, in other news, in this clip, I want you to watch this next clip here, because see if you can spot the most important moment. It's a little Easter egg hunt for you all. The key moment here. In fact, it's a nice jab at the very reason that he was pulled off the air at Fox, we suspect. I did a whole report on this a few months ago after he was pulled off the air, specifically why he was. And I believe this moment, see if you can spot this Easter egg specifically, he mentions it. And I think this clip says it all. Watch.
No one who's paid to cover these things seemed to entertain even the possibility it could have been the Ukrainians who did it. No chance of that. Ukraine, as you may have heard, is led by a man called Zelensky. And we can say for a dead certain fact that he was not involved. He couldn't have been. Zelensky is too decent for terrorism. Now, you see him on television, and it's true you might form a different impression. Sweaty and rat-like, a comedian turned oligarch, a persecutor of Christians, a friend of BlackRock. But don't believe your own eyes. Actually, Mr. Zelensky is a very good man. The best, really. As George W. Bush once noted, he is our generation's Winston Churchill. Of all the people in the world, our shifty, dead-eyed Ukrainian friend in the tracksuit is uniquely incapable of blowing up a dam. He's literally a living saint, a man in whom there is no sin. That's why Lindsey Graham is so attracted to him. They're just two good people, hanging out together and being good. And like all good people, when they meet in person, they spend a lot of time talking about killing people and laughing like friends do. Here's the pair last week.
Free or die.
Free or die.
Now you are free.
Yes.
And we will be.
And the Russians are dying.
It's the best money we've ever spent.
Thank you so much.
No, it's...
The Russians are dying. It's the best money we've ever spent, Graham says. A smile spreads across his thin, quivering lips as he forms the words. He looks like a starving man contemplating a breakfast buffet. The aroma of death has aroused Lindsey Graham. Thanks so much, replies Zelensky. He feels the same way. See, there's nothing dark here. Just two middle-aged guys celebrating the killing of a population. They don't seem like the kind of people who'd enjoy flooding villages or starting a famine. And in any case, who cares if they are? It's really not your business. Your job is to support Ukraine. Watch Nikki Haley, a Republican candidate for president, explain this principle on CNN.
A win for Ukraine is a win for all of us. And for them to sit there and say that this is a territorial dispute, that's just not the case. To say that we should stay neutral, it is in the best interest of America. It's in the best interest of our national security for Ukraine to win. We have to see this through. We have to finish it.
See? It's very easy to understand. It is vitally important for you to support Ukraine because it's necessary for Ukraine to be supported by you. Your support is mandatory until it's finished, whatever it is and whatever that means. So shut up and support Ukraine or else you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. It's the misuse of the transitive property. A equals B, therefore B equals C.
Right.
A and C are the same thing in that equation. It makes no sense.
Did you guys spot the Easter egg? Many of you I see in the chat. Yeah, go ahead, Philip. Did you get it?
To me, the big takeaway was BlackRock.
BlackRock.
Mention of BlackRock, but that
BlackRock.
Yeah, that's okay. What I was saying. I got it.
BlackRock. Yep. You got it. And many people in the chat got it as well. So Tucker, you know, on his first show back, drops in this little Easter egg, Zelensky, and he's supported by BlackRock, the very people that took him off the air at Fox News after taking a large ownership position in Fox News News Corporation.
Well, he clearly doesn't have a non-disparage
clause. I guess, saying like, yeah. Can you say anything crappy about BlackRock? I mean, he's
not signing that.
So they're there in Ukraine, shaking hands with Zelensky, buying up the entire country of Ukraine. And he calls them out like in his first episode. In this clip, here's the final clip I want to show you. Tucker gives some insights into why he was pulled off the air for covering stories that matter to people. If you cover stories that matter to people in the mainstream media, like if you're on Fox News, if you're on these other networks, what he's saying here is that you will be silenced. You cannot do those types of stories that we can do here on Redacted. Watch.
So if you're wondering why our country seems so dysfunctional, this is a big part of the reason. Nobody knows what's happening. A small group of people control access to all relevant information, and the rest of us don't know. We're allowed to yap all we want about racism, but go ahead and talk about something that really matters and see what happens. If you keep it up, they'll make you be quiet. Trust us. That's how they maintain control. When Western tourists first started traveling in large numbers to the Soviet Union in the early 1970s, they found that many Russians had a completely warped understanding of the United States. They thought that Americans lived in grinding poverty, in a state of perpetual race war, and were desperate to flee to the freedom and prosperity of the Eastern Bloc. They thought this because that's what they had been told. They had no way to know otherwise. The few Russians who understood what was really going on in the rest of the world had learned about it from listening to shortwave radio broadcasts, sometimes under the covers so the neighbors wouldn't hear. 50 years later, it is bewildering to consider the ironies here. We're the ones who live in ignorance now. The U.S. government has managed to classify more than a billion so-called public documents. So at this point, we can't possibly know what our leaders are doing. We're not allowed to know. By definition, that is not a democracy. Yet it's fine with the media. Secrecy is a powerful tool of control. Stop asking how we got so rich. Here's another story about racism. Go eat each other. That's the program. That's how most of us now live here in the United States. Manipulated by lies, silenced by taboos. It is unhealthy and it's dehumanizing, and we're tired of it. As of today, we've come to Twitter, which we hope will be the shortwave radio under the blankets. We're told there are no gatekeepers here. If that turns out to be false, we'll leave. But in the meantime, we are grateful to be here. We'll be back with much more very soon.
I like his fly fishing poles back there. Big fly fisherman.
Yeah.
I like the fly fishing motif.
I thought those were pool cues.
No, he's a... Like, in his downtime, yeah, he ties flies. Like, that's how... Anyway, glad he's back. Thrilled to see where this goes. Thank goodness we have an extra, the OG sort of back and an independent voice that was in the main, in the mainstream media, the only anti-war voice in the mainstream media that is now independent. And you can see the reach here.
Yeah.
Now, people are pointing out that Twitter counts views as impressions. I'm not sure. Is that the case? So 85 million views are not necessarily views. They are impressions.
So they did have impressions on the tweet before, but they removed that and now it's just video views. So there's no tweet impressions anymore. So I don't know, like, if they're combining the two or what they're doing.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they'll be transparent about it at some point. They're going to have to be, because that's going to affect marketing and everything.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
Now, of course, there are sort of whiny voices feeling like he should not have a platform, he should not be listened to.
And, Taylor Lorenz at the Washington
feeling
Post.
Feeling like this is how the mighty have fallen, like, ooh, you're on the internet now instead of, you know,
cable.
On old broadcast TV. You know, but again, I want to make the point that we made when he was taken off the air is that the more anti-war voices we have, the better. The more voices that say things that make people want to actually discuss things instead of cancel them, the better. Even if you don't like the things that he has said, you should champion free speech because it's lazy to just cancel the voices you don't want to hear.
Right.
And so, dangerous.
And dangerous. We've got more news to get to on this Wednesday. We do. We're going to talk about Oxfam removing turf language.
Turf images. We have some crazy stories about Oxfam, which, you know, you would think is just out there to fight famine. They're not. They care that young girls have the opportunity to cut off their breasts. That's what they do now. Not feeding them.
And Mel Gibson. We've got a very interesting story about Mel Gibson. This is like a bombshell story. And you got to stick around for this. Going through this data today is just heartbreaking. It's eye-opening. And get ready. I have a big prediction about Mel Gibson here that I want to see if we're on the same page about. So please, please stick around for that story.
Can we make movie quotes?
In a few moments. We can. If you find it appropriate during this segment, you can make movie quotes during it.
Okay. Because we'll my favorite Mel Gibson movie is Bird on a Wire. So you shall prepare yourself as such.
Okay. We'll see when we get to the material if you feel it's appropriate to make Bird on a Wire references.
Always.
During this segment.
You may
feel more appropriate for Braveheart or something else. We'll see. Or Passion of the Christ or something. We'll see. Coming
Payback.
Up Payback. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe payback. We'll see. Yes. Real quick, before we move on, I want to address something here. Willie Gergen in the chat says, what is it about red pilled TV? Is this really someone from Redacted? Now, many of you may have seen a couple of channels that have popped up in the past month or so. There's a couple of these channels that have popped up. They basically steal our content here on this show. Or they steal my like, they use my name, they use my face. We have nothing to do with these channels, nothing. They're impersonation channels, okay? So they're using my name, they're using my likeness, they take our content from our channel. We have alerted people about this. And so just to let you know, we are not associated with these people at all. In fact, I've seen tweets where people are like, hey, did you watch this interview with whatever on... I'm like, that's not their channel. That's ours. They've literally taken our content and they also have created AI generated voices of me. So they're taking my name, my face, and not even my own real voice. They're taking AI generated voices, creating a Clayton voice
They're literally copying and pasting blog articles from other blogs, the copy from them into a machine. And it's spitting out that article in your voice, and then they're just adding B-roll.
So the only channel...
To the untrained ear, like, I can tell because I know you. But to the untrained ear, you can't tell. And I'm getting messages, too, in Discord, on Facebook and everything, saying, I didn't know you guys had a second channel.
No, there's, like, three of these channels now that are out there. They're impersonation channels. So, and I just wanted to alert all of you that we have nothing to do with them. Okay. The only channel that I have is our Morris Invest channel where we talk about investing and, this channel Redacted. So yes, I have two channels, Morris Invest and Redacted. Those are the two main big boy channels. Again, the other ones are impersonation channels. So please, please ignore those at all costs. Okay. Anyway.
All right. I mean, we run the risk of doing what AOC did and having like a, you know, bringing awareness to it when you could just ignore it. So just ignore that. You're here. Thank you for coming. People are asking
me in the chat about
it. I know.
But anyway, my point is that there's a number of these channels. I don't even know the names of them. They just use my face and they put with Clayton Morris in the title and I have nothing to do with it. They've even copied and pasted our channel description and put it in their own channel description. So it's literally a mirror copy of what we do here on Redacted.
Why do you think they don't use me?
Well, obvious. Okay.
Why? Kind of hurts my feelings.
Moving along. All right. Okay. Let's tell you about our friends, you know, over at EnviroCleanse. If all home air purifiers are the same, why did the U.S. Department of Defense select EnviroCleanse to protect and purify the air on board their Navy ships. That's right. EnviroCleanse, built in America, patented earth mineral technology and hospital-grade HEPA filters. EnviroCleanse destroys cold and flu viruses, allergy-inflaming toxins, mold, even more. Their hospital-grade technology is so powerful, it's on the Navy fleet of ships in the United States, in thousands of classrooms as well. The EnviroCleanse promise, far fewer colds and allergies and better night's sleep. Yes, get rid of all of the people that are sneezing right now and dealing with all of that. You got to give it a try. And all you need to do to give it a try right now is visit ekpure.com. The website is on the screen right there, ekpure.com, right? And use code REDACTED for 10% off your EnviroCleanse home air purification unit and free air quality monitor, plus fast free shipping. That's a $150 savings. That's ekpure.com. Use the code REDACTED, ekpure.com, and use that code REDACTED. Check them out. I'm a huge air purifier fan in my house. I think every one of our rooms has one in it, so yeah. Check them out.
And the kids use it as white noise as to well sleep. Because yeah. They love the sound of it going through their room. So.
I don't know. It's like Clayton's obsession with air purifiers and Natalie's office supply. You guys must have some killer parties. And everything is labeled.
Exactly. And laminated.
That's your seat there. See the label right there?
And it's laminated.
And do you guys smell this air in here? This is the cleanest air you've probably ever had.
What a party. All right. Well, Oxfam International, you think they'd be busy feeding people, but they're not. Instead, they're busy offending people because they've apologized for a video that they recently posted for Pride Month where they used the term TERFs. But the apology is what we call in our house. Now, I'm going to say a swear word. I get emails about it when I say swear words, so I'm going to give you a heads up. This is what we call in our house a bullshit sorry. You know, when you make your child apologize to their sibling for doing something like, you hit her, buddy, you know, with your bag, say you're sorry. And they're like, sorry. That's a bullshit sorry. Where you don't really mean it, but you apologize. The bullshit sorry from Oxfam is for this TERF apology. Again, Oxfam is a charity. They're supposed to be feeding needy people. Now they're just an ideological mouthpiece. So let's go over the term TERF and why it is an offensive term. TERF is an acronym. An acronym is initials you can pronounce as a word. So TERF counts for trans exclusionary radical feminists. It's what trans rights activists call anyone who says that they don't, you know, that sex is immutable or a man can't be a woman. If you say those things or a man can't be in a women's restroom, that makes you a TERF. You're trying to exclude, right? Trans people. That's what they think. So you get called a TERF. They describe this as a second wave feminist type way to be. I have a huge problem with that. I'm going to explain it in a second. But first to the imagery of a TERF. Here is a still image from that video that Oxfam posted originally. Again, this, you know, initialism of LGBTQIA is what they say the video is for. It's essentially a Pride Month. Now you can see that these people are like ugly faced, pointing and laughing at this like innocent little rainbow community underneath them. And the one in the middle is clearly a caricature of J.K. Rowling. The dress, you know, the way the hair is, and plus the badge that says TERF. Some people are saying that the people on either side of her, maybe you guys can ring in and say if you think they resemble these people. They say maybe the one on the right is Ron DeSantis. I don't know. And the one on the left could be either Andy Ngo or Constantine Kissin from Trigger Pod. Anybody have an opinion about that? Doesn't really matter. The one that's J.K. Rowling is the one that's incontrovertible and the one that is, you know, people found so offensive. So here's the apology that Oxfam posted. They say, you know, we edited the video to remove the term TERF and we're sorry for the offense it caused. There was no intention, they say, by Oxfam or the filmmakers for this slide to have portrayed any particular person or people. Again, I think that's bullshit. We fully support an individual's right to hold their philosophical beliefs. So here they're referring to TERFs as having philosophical beliefs that men are not women. That's a philosophy, you know, like, does God exist? Or is your life better if you're nice? It's just your personal philosophy about gender, that you have the right to hold that personal philosophy. But more so, we, you know, believe in a person's right to have their identity respected. So, you know, do you think that sounds very sincere? The fact that they respect your ideas on gender as just a philosophy?
No.
That should be respected? Like, we shouldn't have...
No, I mean...
We shouldn't have dumped on your philosophy.
Any time the onus of an apology is on the other person, we're sorry you were offended. We're sorry we did it. I mean, if I don't say I'm sorry I did this, I say I'm sorry I hurt or you were hurt by this, that's not a true apology.
Bullshit that's apology,
like,
right?
That's on you. Exactly.
Now, a lot of bullshit, sorry.
Now, a lot of people in the chat are saying that the one of the people in the image is me. They're saying it looks like Clayton.
No, it's clearly not you.
Okay, I don't know.
Which one would you think it was?
Let me see. I don't know.
The one with the hair, clearly.
The one with the hair on the left. I don't know. That looks like...
With the Gaston-looking chin?
Like from the 1950s Disney... Like a bad guy in a Disney movie from like the Dumbo...
You're not a turf.
Dumbo films?
It actually makes fun... Like they're making fun of like old... Remember those old Asian cartoons?
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Like, yeah. That's what I meant. Like some of those, some of those like Disney cartoons where they did that.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, again, you know what else I find offensive about this is the very first image in the video is this one here. Obviously they're celebrating body mutilation because you see this girl on the left has had what they call top surgery or breast removal surgery. So one has a shirt that says protect trans kids. The other is an example of what to protect trans kids from, which is mutilating your body based on ideology to me. But Oxfam is actually celebrating this, saying like, look at this girl. She has the right to cut off her boobs. And for ideology, isn't that great? They go on to say in the video that LGBT people don't have basic safety and laws and that we should stand for them in all places, including sport. It's a very wordy call to arms from an ideology perspective for an organization that you would think is just feeding people. I do want to talk briefly about this term TERF because I do think that it is ageist and misogynist. It's become synonymous with like ugly middle-aged women with a belief in gender that threatens ideology. According to this ideology, you can't say trans men are not beautiful, but you can say women you don't agree with is ugly. You can't really have it both ways, right? Because we're supposed to sort of say, look at these men dressed as women. Don't they look so beautiful and brave? And if you don't want to say that, you're ugly. So you can, I guess, make fun of people's appearance if you call them a TERF. For instance, the term TERF bangs, have you heard of this? Has been around for a couple of years. It's like, if you have this haircut, it shows that you have ugly opinions.
What?
This is a way, you know, the Karen haircut. It's a way of sort of telling women that we don't want to hear their voices.
So if you have your hair like that with bangs, then we don't want to hear
This is representative of TERF bangs. It's what people who exclude trans people look like. And we make fun of what they look like because we shouldn't want to hear them. Because if you say like, oh, you're old, you're ugly, you're fat, you're middle-aged, you're over the hill, we don't want to hear your voice, you're a TERF, you know, then it's acceptable to sort of diminish their rights to a voice. You know, it's not, again, that far from the term Karen. It's that middle-aged women should not assert themselves. They should shut up or we'll make fun of the way they look. Which brings me to this idea that TERF is a sin of second wave feminism. Again, this is a concept I just read in a book recently called Hags. The idea of like these generational waves of feminism is divisive. It gives you this idea that your mom's generation got it wrong because they just didn't get it. They were out of step. But now, oh, us, we're so hip. We have it right. But beware that kind of generational feminism. Because then when this wave of feminists get saggy boobs or, you know, they don't have this luscious birthing hips or hair anymore, then they will be the passe wave of feminism. And our daughters then will talk about us and how we all got it wrong because we're over the hill now, right? This is stupid and it's clearly ageist and misogynistic as if only young people get it. And this is why you see terms like people who menstruate or chest feeders or uterus havers, right? But it stops at 35. Why? Have you ever asked yourself, why is the empowerment language of female biology stop at menopause? Have you ever heard a trans person say people who menopause?
Right.
No, they leave that to us middle-aged women because nobody wants to be a middle-aged woman.
So they're like, we can breastfeed. I'm a man and I can breastfeed. I'm a man and I can menstruate. But when it comes to menopause, I'm a man and I'm not even thinking about menstruation.
We don't do that.
We don't do that. That's where I get off on this. That's where I get off the trans train.
Yes.
Is on menopause.
Right, because people who menopause is gross. They don't want anything to... Sorry, I keep kicking my high heels around and Clayton's giving me bad looks about trans people, they literally don't want that level of like femaleness because they think that middle-aged women should shut the heck up and be invisible. So screw that and screw Oxfam. Also, for another reason, last year they settled a case with a woman who was fired for advocating not removing J.K. Rowling's books from the charity bookshop that Oxfam runs. A trans person had advocated to get J.K. Rowling's books out at Oxfam, and the woman who was fired said this. She said, "Can you explain why J.K. Rowling is transphobic or why the book is transphobic?" Nobody answered, and she went on to say that we shouldn't be banning one of the most important women writers in the UK, and actually we are selling books from pedophiles and rapists with a G, without the G. We're selling religious books. Stopping something we don't like is called censorship and the opposite of freedom of speech. I mean, I'm sure they had, for instance, Foucault. Do they have his books there? Foucault, as Douglas Murray points out in his book, is the one person who has not been canceled despite his sort of penchant for young boys. If you will. For some reason, the left leaves him alone. Everyone else gets dragged out for their past and either canceled or what have you in the last maybe 500 years, but not Foucault. Now, this woman for saying that, yeah, we should keep carrying these books was called into human resources for this, put through an investigation and found guilty of misconduct and issued a final warning for just saying these things. She appealed, she lost, and then she took them to court. And as part of this settlement, Oxfam issued her this bullshit sorry, saying, "We believe that each member of our community has a right to earn their religious or to their own religious or, again, philosophical beliefs. They think gender is a philosophy, including the belief that sex is immutable and sex is important." So they're saying these two things are philosophical or religious, but not biological truth. They say, "We acknowledge that in dealing with your case and during the disciplinary process, we made mistakes, blah, blah, blah." So again, I don't know that that's acceptable. You decide if you accept that apology, especially in light of allegations that Oxfam senior executives paid Haiti survivors when they were there for sex. And then Oxfam went on to cover it up. The CEO resigned over this in 2008, and they had to take out a full-page apology in The Guardian. And you will inevitably, though, see more ideological campaigning from Oxfam, as evidenced by their 2022 annual report. You can see here what they're making. So they're making, yeah, that one. In 2022, they pulled in over 101 million, I'm sorry, $101 million. And what they're spending their money on is mostly ideology. So you see the circle on the bottom right, only the purple part is for saving lives. The rest of it, the two green ones, are for campaigning for social justice, public education, and the other green is programs to overcome poverty and injustice. So mostly they're an advocacy group. They're not really feeding people. So they really should take the like FAM part out of their name, because that's not what they do. It's about a quarter of what they do. So let us know what you think of this story, if you think this is a sincere apology or if it's just good to know what you're dealing with if you donate to Oxfam.
And so many people in the chat are like, they just made up this word, this turf word, like, they're just inventing words now.
I think so, because I think a big part of this ideology is to fetishize academia. And to take words that sound like they are academic and then use them in a way that sounds educated so that you can sort of make people talk down, you know. And so I definitely think that, yeah, TERF, the trans exclusionary radical feminist, does sound like someone who's read some books when most of the people who use it have not.
And today we had the CEO of BlackRock. Speaking of BlackRock, Larry Fink came out and said that we need to have inclusionary language. We need to have inclusionary ideologies on gender and race. We have to basically force it on cultures. Like, we can't let it go. We've got to force it on you to make change. We've
He's been saying that for a while. Like, it's our opportunity to force along.
Force it now.
Yeah.
Force it. Yeah. That's BlackRock taking over.
I mean, you should champion that if you think that people with power and corporations should shape society. If that's how you like it, then go along with that.
Right.
So if you don't, you absolutely should not be rooting for disproportionate power in the hands of people with money.
Coming up, we're going to talk about Mel Gibson. Big story here on Mel Gibson. And I want to just kind of do it as a preview of what's to come from Mel Gibson. So we'll touch on that. And I really want you to see if my prediction comes true. So that's what I'm going to ask you here in a second. But first, we've got some troubling signs on the U.S. dollar. We've got more BRICS nations that are about to be, or more people, more countries that want to join the BRICS nations. That's right. The U.S. dollar continues its spiral downward. And our friends at Lear Capital can help you get set up and moving away from the U.S. dollar, moving towards gold and silver, precious metals. And right now, if you're investing in gold, they can help you. Well, if you want to invest in gold, they can actually help you take like an old IRA or an old 401k that's been sitting there after you left a job. And you're like, what do I do with this thing? It's just sitting there languishing. Roll it over to a self-directed account that gives you the power to invest in things like precious metals and even real estate that you control, not Wall Street. It's powerful. And what you can do is Lear can help you get set up very easily with that. There's an 800 number on your screen. Call it right now. Write it down and call it 1-800-613-3557. Or you can even visit their website, learredacted.com. To learn more, you can get your free gold and silver investor guide and receive up to $15,000 in bonus metals with a qualified purchase. That's right, $15,000 in bonus metals with a qualified purchase. And right now, I mean, silver, oh boy, silver has been my go-to. We just, Natalie and I just bought a bunch more silver over the past 48 hours. And we bought some more gold like a few weeks ago. And so now this was our big silver purchase in the past 48 hours because where the prices are right now, it's just so cheap. And it's about half of its all-time high. So just seeing where silver and gold are going and holding its value for 4,000 years as the U.S. dollar continues to decline, you know, just look into it and see if it's a fit for you. Get their free gold and silver investor guide. 1-800-613-3557. You can have it stored off-site. You could store it in your own home in a safe, whatever you choose. But start looking into precious metals. That's why all these central banks are buying as much of it as they can right now. All right. And thank you guys for subscribing. Nice. We just added another 35 subscribers. We're moving up to 2 million tonight here on YouTube. Thank you so much.
We're getting there.
All of our Rebel Army over on Redacted on our Rumble channel as well. 17,000 of you watching us live on Rumble right now. And almost 20,000 of you watching on YouTube. 18,000, 19,000 on YouTube. So good to see almost 40,000 of you here tonight watching us live. That's so great. All right. I have a prediction. Hear me out on this prediction. Over the next few weeks, you will see a number of news articles from the mainstream media reminding you why you should hate actor Mel Gibson, or at the very least, why you should ignore him. They will remind you that he's a bad person, a racist, an anti-Semite, and all manner of other things they will tell you. They will republish the leaked audio recordings of his personal conversations where he said some really vile things that he later apologized for. We know these original recordings were edited before they were released. We now know that. How did they get out in the first place, you ask? How did these private conversations get out? How did the company that owns the National Enquirer get their hands on these tapes to begin with? Don't ask questions. Don't ask questions. Just shut up and follow along. This anti-Mel Gibson campaign will start soon. It's going to start. You watch. Mark my words. Because Mel Gibson and what he is about to reveal about Hollywood and beyond. We just learned that Mel Gibson is about to release a four-part massive documentary series on the worldwide child sex trafficking ring that brings in $34 billion a year in revenue. $34 billion in revenue. Just for a frame of reference, the airline industry this year, it's bounced back. It's on pace to do $22 billion in revenue this year. 22. That's all airline companies combined. Child sex trafficking is more profitable than the airline industry. This news comes, though, on a day today, the Wall Street Journal front page story exposing how Mark Zuckerberg's Instagram, yes, Instagram, is actively promoting in-person meetups for pedophilia networks. Here's the front page of the Wall Street Journal today. Instagram connects vast pedo network. The Meta Unit systems for fostering communities have guided users to all sorts of child sex content. Company says it's improving their internal controls. Turns out all of those conspiracy theories about using a pizza emoji and a map that people said, no, that's like pedo language. That was a conspiracy theory. Turns out, just read the Wall Street Journal article. No, that's exactly how they communicated. If you're a seller, use pizza emoji. Use these different emojis to let people know what you want. It's all right there in Instagram. So that's happening. Wall Street Journal bombshell story. At America's border, tens of thousands of children are being brought into the United States for child sex trafficking. Our friend Michael Yon, former Green Beret, war correspondent, has been covering this for us, doing an amazing job at the border and in Panama at the Darien Gap. He sent us this video that he filmed from the border with another journalist. Because there's huge money, big money, $34 billion in money, basically trafficking untraceable babies who have no birth certificates. No birth certificates, no records. They are perfect for sex trafficking. Watch.
Obviously, we've shown you guys multiple camp areas in which it was not as obvious as what we're seeing here. Take a look what we're seeing here. Start seeing nothing but children's clothes, blankets, little girls' articles of clothing, little boy or girls, little boy shoes, more little girl undergarments, little girl shoes, more little girl shoes, I don't know if it's a woman or another, a girl's shoes, and there's baby bottles all the way in there. And just to show you guys, there's multiple baby bottles in here, baby formulas, little girl jackets.
What's that medicine to the left? Gloves?
Pacifiers.
That's not a pacifier, that's a diva cup.
These are latex gloves. Like, they had tons of kids in here, guys. Tons of babies in here, wrapped in blankets. Their evidence is here. The government is complicit in all this. They have children out here like dogs. This is incredible. This is a child camp, guys. You can't tell me that what we're seeing here and showing you guys, this is a child camp. This is a child encampment. Look. Infamil. Somebody's bringing them Infamil all the way out here to maintain these children before they get trafficked into the thirsty United States of America.
Let that sink in for a second. Makes me want to cry.
What he just called a pacifier was actually a menstrual cup that he just flung around. So, I mean, these are young people. Yeah.
So this is happening in the United States. The United States, the biggest purveyor of this, one of the biggest purveyors of this. Here is former CIA agent explaining exactly how all of this works and why it's so profitable and basically untraceable.
These children are not just kidnapped and in some cases bred by families as a cash crop. We have people in the United States of America that breed children in order to sell them. And when they are sold, they come without birth certificates, which means it's easier to kill them and have no one ask where they are. We're also importing children by the plane load. Again, children who have no documentation. It's not just child slavery or child sex abuse. It's also child torture because you have adrenalized blood. You have the whole blood drinking ceremony of the satanic world. And then you have ritual ceremonies and ritual murder, as well as incidental murder. The other working assumption is how long do these children survive within this system? What I am hearing from the witnesses that I've talked to is 2 years. It may be longer. It may be 4 years. It may be 6 years. But by and large, these children are so abused. I mean, we're talking rapes by the hour and so forth, that they reach their expiration date within 2 years. And then they're murdered with impunity, or they're ritually murdered if that's what they've been bred for.
What?
And you hear this from multiple CIA agents who've worked on these cases where they basically, and former FBI agents that we've spoken to here on this show, who've infiltrated these cells and they've infiltrated these like chat rooms where they've tracked these people and then captured them. They show up at like little girls' homes with awful stuff. Now, even before the racist Mel Gibson audio tapes were released, Mel Gibson was starting to expose Hollywood's dark side, the seedy side of Hollywood, and the children and these sex parties that had long been rumored in Hollywood, these $1 million to be accepted into these certain clubs in Beverly Hills. Oh, yeah, they're there. They're real. The sacrifices. Yes, the sacrifices. Real. Gibson started to expose this slowly in some interviews. Here's just one example. This one's fairly tame for television.
A gut full of the whole industry. I mean, it's a very strange place, Holly Weirdwood. but it's an odd place. And you imagine all these horror stories there that you think, boy, it seems as if I'm being sacrificed over here. No, that couldn't be true. And then you realize that it is true. And you have to, I just left for a while and took a couple of years off, bought a place down in Australia and started digging holes and putting up fences and birthing cattle and all this kind of stuff. And it was fun, you know, it was fun. It was great. And it was a good breather, you know?
Yeah. And then of course the comeback, what a comeback, Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't bad, was it?
Yeah, it was all right.
So he comes back. Yeah. And he just switches gears and let's just talk about the movies again. That's why you're here. Let's talk some fun stuff here. You were about to reveal some dark stuff about Hollywood and why you left and went back to Australia. You can't say that kind of stuff. You'll be pushed out, right? You'll be pushed out and you'll be defamed. And Gibson was, of course, destroyed. And now that these racist rants were exposed, who would possibly take him seriously after that, right? After those tapes were leaked. And Hollywood went on to survive another day. And we now know that a big portion of this new Mel Gibson documentary, this four-part documentary, will center around Ukraine and Ukraine's child trafficking operation. And this is not just 10 kids, 100 kids, not more than 10,000 kids, at least in Ukraine, sold off to be, quote, harvested. Yes, harvested, the words they use. Those are the words they use, not mine. Those are the words they use. And they take advantage of these situations, war zones, hurricanes, earthquakes, etc. NATO's proxy war in Ukraine has revealed a lot about the criminal elements operating there. We've certainly covered them here on the show, and they've been exposed in many quarters now as a result of the proxy war. Also, organ harvesting. New documentary out that RT has on the organ harvesting that's been taking place. That's another story for another day. We now know that Mel Gibson is about to release this documentary because the man who leads the global effort to stop child trafficking, one of the men who leads this, is Tim Ballard. And he told us so. This is Tim Ballard. He's a husband, father, former CIA, former DHS special agent, undercover operator, who left and founded Our Rescue, which is a nonprofit that helps to stop this. Here's what their website says. We exist to rescue children from sex trafficking and sexual exploitation. We lead the fight against child sex trafficking and sexual exploitation around the globe. We will not give up and will continue to go to the darkest places until the light is restored and every child is protected. So they exist to stop these children from being exploited. If you're looking for a charity to support, you know, we were talking about Oxfam a minute ago. Maybe you donate, you know, the money that you were going to do over there. Maybe this is a better charity for you to be putting your money into. I can't think of a better one at the moment, to be honest with you. We've reached out to Tim to join us here on the show because we would love to share Tim's message and help any way that Redacted can. So we hope that Tim will be a guest on the show. It turns out that Tim Ballard is working directly with Mel Gibson to show the world the horrors of this $34 billion operation. He published this message on social media, which is now legend because Mel Gibson is now trending all over Twitter. Yes. Why? Because of this. Tim Ballard, can't wait to tell you exactly why Mel Gibson is wearing this hat, which is the Our Rescue hat. Big announcement coming soon. And then Tim gave a speech, this speech a short time ago, explaining how Mel reached out to him when he found out that what was unfolding in Ukraine. He asked him for help to stop it. Orphans that he supports in Ukraine, get them out of there. Can you help them? And to get the kids out of this area. Tim asked for help in getting the word out, and maybe they could film this process, teach others about what's going on in this world, child sex trafficking. He thought that they were going to be just covering what was happening in Ukraine. Turns out it was a much bigger story than they could have even imagined. Watch him explain his contact with Mel Gibson.
I told Mel, I said, you got to help me. This is going to be expensive. I won't ask you for direct donation, but can you help me film this? You know, let's film what's happening so we can get people to understand and they can support us. He said, no problem. He helped us get set up and started filming. 4 months later, what I thought was going to be maybe a documentary about Ukraine ends up being a four-part docuseries that's almost done. It's being produced by DNA Films and executive produced by Tony Robbins. That's how crazy it got and how prophetic my wife was. When I showed up in Ukraine with a list of, I think, 20 names, the Ukrainians countered me and gave me over 10,000 names of orphans that they didn't know where they were.
That's just Ukraine. We know, in fact, that the United States alone, 800,000 children yearly go missing in the United States. 800,000. The United Kingdom, that number is 230,000. Germany, 100,000. Unbelievable.
I just read an article this last week about like 27 kids in a week in Cleveland.
Yeah, gone. And then the border, the wide open border at the southern part of the United States where 85,000 kids. Yeah, we just don't know where they are. So all of this part of this child sex trafficking. So I'm not going into any more details about it tonight. I just wanted to sort of preview where I see, get ready, guys. I guarantee you, we're going to see mainstream media articles, Hollywood-style articles coming out about Mel Gibson again, reminding all of you why you should ignore him. And I just want you to be prepared. That's my prediction. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that everyone will embrace this and say, well, let's watch this four-part documentary about world child sex trafficking. Let's watch it with an open mind. But I don't think that's how this
Maybe.
Is going to
go.
I want to see names, though. I want them to name names because you know that, like, The people that are orchestrating this are not just your average people because the amount of money involved in it, this is like top level stuff. And
you bring up a great point here. So there's always this, like, what we want to hear names. And from some of the witnesses and survivors who've escaped this, some who are high level, like executives in the banking world, people like that, who, when they were at a certain level, were then asked to become part of the network, which means take the next step. Come now to these parties. Come now to this network where these children are. You're going to be taking the next step. We're bringing you into our fold here, and you're going to be brought there. And some of them said, they became incredibly sick and said, no way, I can't do that. No way. And then they're threatened. And then they're threatened because now they know too much, and they're threatened with their family's bloodline being wiped out and killed to the point where they have to go into hiding. And then they're being told, like, please, I won't mention your names. Do not kill my family, is basically what they're being told. I've heard this now from a couple of different survivors who've gone through this.
both on the female side of this who were child sex trafficked, as well as the people who were at the high level and who were invited to be a part of the trafficking and have said the same thing. So I think some of the reasons why we don't hear some of these names is because of that. If they've managed to get out, they got out, and if they were to reveal names, they would have their family threatened as well. So really, really awful stuff. Awful stuff. So, you know, anyway, we've invited Tim to come on the show, and we'd love to ask questions about what this documentary would entail and how broad this goes, how deep this goes, and what sort of pushback they get from Hollywood and other places. But it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. All right. Well, I did not feel motivated to make Mel Gibson movie jokes.
I didn't think you would. Yeah. I didn't think you would.
You really killed my buzz.
But I did see people in the chat saying freedom. Freedom.
Yeah.
That's one.
Or I saw one that I liked saying he's a real lethal weapon.
Yes.
That was fun too.
Yeah.
But yeah, the rest of that story wasn't fun. So I left the fun.
Yeah.
Left the fun out of that.
I guess payback did apply. Payback would be.
Yeah. It is interesting though, when you think back, because I think we're all in a haze about when those audio tapes came out, those like the Mel Gibson audio tapes. It's like, how did they keep coming out? There was like four or five of them leaked to the Radar Online, which is owned by the same company that owns the National Enquirer. Like, where do these come from? How is this getting out? How are they then being edited and published? And it's like a lot of really interesting questions.
The safe that one Enquirer guy had, all the safe things that he holds on people for to use on a rainy day.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Possibly.
And Epstein, you know, pure evil. Hey, speaking of pure evil, Jeffrey Epstein, we've got more news about that. Whitney Webb is going to be joining us here on the show tomorrow. We're going to be talking about Peter Thiel and some major new revelations in the Jeffrey Epstein story. We're going to have that. What else do we have? We've got some good stuff.
We're going to talk about Justin Trudeau tomorrow. We have a story about that we put on hold.
Yeah.
We have a lot coming. So please tune in tomorrow.
Yeah, I want to read a headline from an article that's going to show you how the mainstream media is going to spin Tucker Carlson's show on Twitter, because I found this kind of humorous. This is from The Independent. Tucker Carlson calls Ukraine's Jewish leader rat-like as he launches new Twitter show with pro-Kremlin rant. The far-right former Fox host also questioned the official story about 9/11 and claimed that the U.S. media are covering up evidence of alien life.
Jeez. All right.
Oh, yeah. So they're going to pull that.
How many takedowns can you have in one headline?
Yeah. Who wrote that? What publication was that from?
That's The Independent.
All right. We're going to see. We'll see the Daily Beast. We'll see the normal. We'll see the normal, you know.
I mean, they're just like, here's why you shouldn't watch this. And please don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the mainstream media clinging to the cliff. They're literally clinging to the edge of the cliff. And they know it. And so this is their desperate attempt to take him down.
Yeah. Oh, people pointing out, that's right. The Sound of Freedom, the movie, is a story about Tim Ballard. It comes out on July 4th. Jim Caviezel is playing. Does he play Tim in the movie? I think.
I don't know.
Nathan Yates says, this channel is ridiculous. I've never met or heard of a child in my 38-year lifetime being kidnapped or missing. You've never heard of a child being kidnapped, Nathan?
Yeah, they don't really broadcast it.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Don't say
like, really, don't you've never milk. Heard of a child? You've never heard you of a child being kidnapped? I mean, what? Come on. Really?
That's like the premise of a million movies also. Like, we didn't make up the concept.
Now, I sure hope, Nathan, you're just being funny. Because, you know, I don't use the F-bomb often. But when I do...
I said BS a lot tonight,
I drink Dos Equis.
We're going to put some, we'll put some quarters in the jar.
Yeah, I hope. If you made it to the end of the show, then you've got a tough stomach, and thank you guys. But hopefully, Nathan, you were just being funny because, I don't buy that for a second. All right, everyone. Thank you guys for subscribing and being a part of our great community here. We really appreciate it. Again, we have our daily newsletter. We'd hope for you to subscribe to it. Redacted.inc is the place to go. Go to that website, put in your email address, and you'll get the newsletter first thing tomorrow morning on a Thursday. And again, thank you, everyone. Nathan, you too. I hope you were being funny. We'll see you guys back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Much love to you guys.